delighted to be with you this morning. This is Communion Sunday, and it's always a special occasion. When we serve communion, the Lord has given us that precious time around His table where He is uniquely present. Not that He isn't at other times, but He is, His manifest presence is to be there. And it's significant that we are in a series on a case for healing, because Jesus longs to pass by and to touch your life, whatever your need, whatever your physical or emotional or mental need, whatever your financial need, your marital need, the whole body of your life, not just your physical body, is what Jesus is concerned about. And I want you to know that today. This morning we're looking into the passage itself, the one that deals with the healing for our body, James chapter 5. We have looked at the first three of these possibilities of healing. We've seen Jehovah Rapha in the Old Testament. We have seen Jesus Christ, the rescuer, in the New Testament. And then we have seen that He atoned for our sins and became our Redeemer. All three of these names and titles of Christ cover it all. They cover everything that we need in healing. Jehovah Rapha is that umbrella that protects us. He says, I will bring none of these diseases on you. As you abide in me, I will cover you. Psalm 91 is a wonderful testimony of that. Then Jesus Christ Himself, He said He was present in this earth when He ever went into a town or a city or a household. He always healed people because His presence brings healing. And finally, when Jesus walks by and He sees that there are sins and curses and the devil afflicting you, He is able to rescue you from that. For He bore those sins in His body on the tree, and He bore your sicknesses as well. And He's able to rescue you from all of those things. This morning we want to look at this particular passage of Scripture, which is unique. There's no other Scripture like it. There is no other information in the Bible that gives us the steps or procedures by which we are to approach the Lord for healing. I want to walk through that with you today. There are six steps in this process of healing. We're going to read the passage, and then we're going to look at these six steps, and then we go into the Lord's table and ask the Lord to indeed heal us. James chapter 5, we're reading verses 13 to 18. I'm going to be using the New King James Version for a reason. Because as I studied the New International Version, and many of you already know, the New International Version is a wonderful version for devotional times with the Lord. It is a paraphrase as well as a translation, but sometimes it's not as reliable as a translation. And that's the case here this morning. So I'm using New King James because it stays closer to the original Greek in what it says. James chapter 5, verses 13 to 18. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any of you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth its fruit. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for this wonderful passage that James, the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, gives us. We want to understand it, Lord. We want to be able to apply it to our own hearts and lives. And Lord, I pray that there will be great liberty in the hearts of your people to approach your throne and receive what you have for them. We ask for your anointing on this message, the messenger, and the ears of those that hear. In Jesus' name, amen. This calling of the elders and anointing with oil is often a passage that is misunderstood, certainly misapplied. The Roman Catholic Church in the Dark Ages decided this was the extreme unction. It was only in cases where somebody was dying and there was no hope, and therefore you were to call for the elders and they were to pray over him. Really, it was for forgiveness of sins so they could go into heaven and be done with this life. That is not the purpose of this passage. This passage is about rescue. It's about redeeming you from the hand of the enemy. It is about the Lord being Jehovah Rapha for us and how we approach Him. There are six steps that we see in this passage. The motive, the means, the men, the method, the manner, and the mandate. Isn't that cute, the way it's alliterated? But I want you to understand what's there. That might give you a handle, and if you write that note in your margin, it may be one way to keep it before you, all the steps that are involved in this. We're going to move quickly through this and then into our communion service. First of all, there is a motive that is established here. A motive. When James begins this passage, he begins it with, "Is there any afflicted among you?" That word afflicted means anybody in torment, anybody in pain, anybody in trouble, anybody having great sorrow. It really covers a multitude of things. In fact, the Apostle Paul uses it synonymously with sickness as an affliction. So it covers a great wide variety of things that can be wrong in our lives. He says, if any of you is afflicted, let him pray. I think we need to understand that in every situation of life, we don't need to run to the altar or run to the elders. We have a Savior who hears and answers prayer. We have a personal relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. We have come to be children of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has forgiven us our sins. He's written our names in heaven. And He said, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We have every right to come before the throne of God and boldly ask for the things we need of. We don't need the elders to do that for us. So I'm saying that to keep you from rushing to the altar every time you have a need, so the elders are the ones that are supplying your need. They are not the ones supplying your need. The purpose of James here for the elders is something different, and we need to see that in this passage. But there's a motive. There's a motive. When he comes to the part of sickness, he says, is any sick among you? Is any sick among you? Now, as I look at that passage, that word sickness means weak or feeble. Is there anyone that's weak or feeble? In fact, the passage itself seems to indicate that the person is in bed, because when it says the Lord will raise him up, he's using the word of raising somebody up out of bed, picking up out by the hand and raising them to an upright position. And so as we see sick, my understanding of this, and yours may be different, my understanding of this is that you don't call the elders for every little thing that's wrong with you. I used to have a man in my church that would call me and he'd say, Pastor, I need to have the elders come and pray for me. I have a cold. Now, there's nothing wrong with him calling and trusting the Lord for his cold, but I don't think that's the application here. There are sicknesses that are normal processes of life that are going to come and go. How many of you here have ever had a cold any time in your life? Raise your hand. How many of you have a cold right now? Raise your hand. Oh, stay away from me. That's one of the things I face with people wanting to come and be anointed for their colds. Pastor, I have a bad cold. Would you pray for me? Yeah, thank you very much. I'm going to bear it in my body. Now, I don't want you to be afraid to bring your sicknesses to the Lord or to come to a pastor or an elder and ask for prayer. But I want you to be careful that you're not running to the elders as though they're the solution. They're part of a process here. Paul told Timothy, I want you to take a little wine for your stomach and your oft infirmities. He uses that same word, your sicknesses. He didn't say, Timothy, shame on you for being sick. You should call for the elders. He said, there are some things that are just, you're going to have problems. And you need to deal with them and call on the Lord yourself and wade through it and get to the other side. But when the sickness is stubborn, when the sickness prevails on you, and continues, it's prolonged, it's resistant to medicine, it lays you down and you can't get up, or it puts you on the shelf that you cannot serve the Lord, And it won't go away. This is the special case in which you need help. You need to realize that sometimes it's not enough just to pray on your own. Sometimes it's not enough just to take the medicines that the doctor gives you. Because sometimes that disease needs a touch from the Lord. Now please don't go away saying, Pastor Dick wants to eliminate people coming to the altar to be prayed for just anything. I didn't say that. He said, my understanding of the passage is when you're troubled by your sickness, whatever that trouble is, then you need to bring it to the Lord. There's a motive here. You've done all that you can do, and now you need some help. A few years ago, I was suffering with a calcium deposit in my mouth that broke through the skin and rubbed on my jaw. It was very, very painful. I went to a certain dentist, and he sent me on to a surgeon. And the surgeon went in there and took his drill and just rubbed that thing off and polished it down, shaved it off, and gave me some high dose of medicines for pain. It was excruciating, and it didn't go away. I had to go back twice to the doctor, and he said, well, this is unusual that it keeps coming back like this. And so he'd file it down again, and he'd say, take two of these and call me in the morning. And I loved the drugs that I was taking, by the way. They were quite wonderful. Put me in a state of wonder. But you know, that continued for almost 6 months. I was struggling. Even as I was preaching, it was rubbing me raw. I would go home after preaching three services at that time, and my inside of my mouth was literally rubbed bloody because of that thing. And I struggled with it. I never sensed the Lord saying, call for the elders. A brother in this church came to me and he said, Pastor, how come you haven't called for the elders to anoint and pray for you? And I said, because the Lord hasn't told me to do that yet. And I wasn't being evasive. I was being honest. I don't run to the altar with everything, asking the elders to pray for every pain that I have. I wait on the Lord and say, Lord, is this something you need to touch and heal? It was 6 months after that began, I was conducting a prayer retreat, and it was very painful. I was speaking, and I was walking and praying, and I was counseling with people. And at the last session of that time together, most of them were lay people. They were not pastors. There were a couple pastors there. And while we were sitting in a circle, the Lord said, now you can ask them to pray for you. It was like a bolt of lightning. The Lord said, now you can ask them, not just the elders that are here, but the brothers and sisters in Christ, have them gather around and pray for you. I heard the voice of the Lord say that. And I obeyed. And I said, Lord, this has been going on for 6 months. It's painful. And I need your help. And they laid hands on me, anointed me with oil, and prayed the prayer of faith. I woke up the next morning, and without even knowing it, I brushed my teeth and realized there was no pain. I slipped my gum down to look. There was no mark. There was no indication there was ever a problem there. The Lord healed it immediately and completely. Wow. You need to be sensitive to the Lord and what He's speaking to your heart. And when He says, you come to the altar because you have a sickness, whatever that sickness or that trouble is, you come because the Lord says so. Not because Pastor Dick said you could or you couldn't. You come because the Lord is prompting you, and you come and seek Him. The motive needs to be that you're sick. You're in trouble. Let me move on. The second one is the means. There's a means, and he puts it into a first-hand, personal look. He says, when you are sick, you call for the elders to pray over you. That means the person that is sick has a personal responsibility to listen to God and then to personally call upon the elders and be anointed and prayed for. I had this come to me rather abruptly when I was a teenager and suffering with an illness that would have disqualified me from the mission field. And it was quite troubling to me. I felt called to be a missionary. Went to the doctor. He found this disease and he said, well, you can't be a missionary. You've got this disease and that's going to hinder you from going. I went back home and I talked to my mom and I talked to my dad about it. And at that time, my dad was really walking with the Lord. And my dad said, Dick, if you really want to be healed, if you really think God has called you to be a missionary, maybe you should call for the elders and have them anoint and pray for you. I was a 16-year-old. I was extremely shy. I had never spoken to an elder in my life. They're scary guys. And I said, Dad, would you call them for me? And my dad wisely said, Dick, what does the Scripture say? If you are sick, you call for the elders. And I go, no. Oh. I really began to wonder whether it was better to stay sick than to call the elders, because I didn't like calling the elders. But you know, the Lord prompted me again. And I felt that burden, the Lord saying, you're sick, you have a need. And man doesn't have the solution for your need. Call the elders. And so I called one of the elders, and with my hesitancy and my nervousness, I said, this is Dick LaFountain. Who? Norman's son, Dick LaFountain. Oh, yeah. I would like the elders to pray for me after church on Sunday. You see, our elders didn't gather at the front to pray for people. It was only by special appointment. And that day came, the special appointment. And they laid hands on me, anointed me with oil, and trusted the Lord with me for my healing. A week later, the final test came back on the disease that I had. And the doctor says, I don't know where the diagnosis came from before, but you don't have any of that in your system. You've been completely healed. Isn't that great? God does wonderful things when we listen to Him. James is saying, listen to your Lord Jesus Christ. He speaks to you. He whispers to you. And when you are sick and He's indicating to you that you need help, then you need to call for the elders. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have elders here. It means when there are elders here, you come down front. You pursue. You come. You instigate this. I do not want to have a church full of hitmen called elders. And they run around chasing everybody with their sicknesses and trying to anoint and pray for them. That's not only anointing, that's annoying. And it's not what God said. When you are sick, you call or you come to the elders. Why? Matthew 18 has a lot to say about this. When Jesus is talking about His presence with His people, He said, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth as touching any one thing, they shall ask and it shall be done of them of My Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in My name, there I am in the midst of you. See, there's an indication. You need help at a time like that. You can't do it alone. You need the prayers of others. And so you call for the elders and you say, I need to have prayer about this. This is my sickness. This is my situation. Would you anoint and pray for me? Now, I often have a question that people bring to me. They said, well, I've already been to the altar once. And it didn't go away. Should I go back again or would that be a lack of faith? And I say, no, it's not a lack of faith. Paul did that. Paul said, I sought the Lord three times for this infirmity, this affliction that I had. And he called it a sickness. And he said, three times the Lord said, My grace is sufficient for you. But three times, I believe, Paul would have called for the elders and sought the Lord for healing. Now, I'm not assuming that God's going to say no in the same way He said to the Apostle Paul. I'm assuming that most times God's going to say yes. The third thing we see here is the men. Oh, this is so important. It really needs a message all by itself. On November 10th at the Mars Alliance Church, we will have a special conference called Rekindle the Flame. They've asked me to do a two-hour seminar on this passage on healing and how that works in the church. And if you would like to hear more, I got 2 hours of stuff I'll share with you. But the elders are an important ingredient in that. What does that mean? Does that mean look for old guys in the church? Look for bald guys? Look for guys with beards? No. It means those who are in spiritual authority, those who are spiritually mature. There may be congregations that you associate with that don't have official elders. They may have deacons or something else. But it's not talking about an elected position. It's talking about a position before the Lord of noble spiritual heritage in which a man, and I include a woman sometimes in this, they're not elders as such, but I believe they can join in with us in prayer. How do I know that? Well, because John writes to the elect lady, the elder woman in the congregation that was noble and of high value to the church. Now, you can wrestle with that all you want. That's my opinion. You can have your own. But I believe women have just as much power with God as men do.
Amen.
Sounded like a feminine response, didn't it? But call for the elders, and that means the mature saints, the holy men, women of God, men of God, to gather around you and to pray for you. What is that all about? Let me say it quickly. You can write it down or you can pick it up in the notes on the internet. It's their faith that's involved. They're joining their faith with your faith. Two or three are better than one. When one falls, the others can pick them up. It's the combined prayers of all of them together, going to the throne together over this one thing. Jesus said, if two or three of you agree as touching any one thing, you're identifying it and going to the throne. And it's their authority given to them in Christ that they know how to speak to the enemy. They know how to chase the enemy away. They know how to claim the promises of God. And it's their discernment. They ought to be discerning whether this is because of sin or whether there's demonic activity or whether this is perhaps something God wants the person to endure. All of that is part of that process. And I'll elaborate on that on November 10th, Lord willing. And then their gifts need to be operative. And I really believe part of the giftedness of elders when you're going to be anointed for prayer is the miraculous gifts need to be evident. Not everybody has a miraculous gift. Not all elders have a miraculous gift. But in that mix, there ought to be some. There ought to be those who have the spirit of discernment. Spirit of discernment. And can immediately tell whether there's a grieving of God's Spirit or not. There ought to be some others that have the word of exhortation, where they're able to, from memory, take the Scriptures and apply them to your situation. That can be extremely helpful. And finally, you have the elders as your continued support. I want you to know, when you come to an altar and I pray for you, I continue to pray for you throughout the week, and sometimes for the weeks and months that go on. I've had several people in this church that I have prayed for, and I continued to pray for you for over a year. And then I remember encountering one in particular in the hallway, in the aisleway here before church. And I said, oh, how's that situation I've been praying for? And they said, oh, that went away 2 weeks after you prayed for me. Please tell me when it's done. Not that I don't mind praying for you, but I'd like to move on to other things too. And you ought to, when the Lord heals you, when God answers prayer, there ought to be a shout that goes up to heaven and to earth. Everybody ought to know about it. All right, I'm getting wound up here. You call for the elders. Now, somebody's going to say, but what if it's a woman's meeting? Call the women elders in that moment and have them pray for you. Because in most women's meetings of this church, the women are under the authority of this pastor and the elders of this congregation. They are not usurping anything. We have given them the authority to pray for you. And so, yes, but don't neglect to go to the elders when the occasion rises. The mode of praying, that is an important one. There's no magic in the oil. The oil is a phenomenal thing. We have some here. And I think it's funny because I've watched it through the years and I've had the experience of, what do you do once you're anointed with oil? You got all this sticky substance on your head. And they take it and they douse you, and some people make a form of a cross. I don't. I think that's superstitious. Just anoint and leave it there. Now, when you go home, can you take a bath? That's the holy anointing oil. In the Old Testament, the priest had holy anointing oil. They anointed people, but they didn't put a little dab of do ya. They doused you. So really, if we're going to do it like the Old Testament, we would have a full jar of this stuff, usually olive oil, and sometimes it's scented, and you would come up and we'd pour it on your head. I think we'd have less people get in anointed. But the oil has no magic in it. The oil is a symbol of the blessing of the Lord. All through Scripture, remember the 23rd Psalm? Anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. That's what the Lord wants you to see. That when you're anointed, the elders are in agreement upon you and anointing you with oil and saying you're a chosen one of God, you are blessed of Him, and you will be blessed, and your cup will run over. I think that's a phenomenal thing, and more teaching on that we'll do on November 10th. But I think it is interesting that God has never given us any product that should be an amulet or a thing that we think has power in itself. This has no power in and of itself. It is oil in obedience to the Lord. And so we do that because the Lord says this symbolizes blessing. And we ought to be happy to let God symbolically mark us as I am an instrument of blessing. And guess who else is watching when you have that oil on your head? The enemy. That blessing is a wonderful blessing. Yes, you can wipe it off when you get home. You can wipe it off here. It's just a symbol. But remember, God has marked you as one that He wants to bless in a special way. And then number five is the manner. The manner in which the elders do this. It is the manner of the prayer. It says the prayer should be a prayer of faith. Let me back up a moment. It says, when they come, the elders are to pray over them. I really believe that means the laying on of hands. I've instructed my elders that we have three ways of praying for people in the church. We pray for them. That means when we're at home, we pray for them. We pray with them when we're accompanied with them. And then we pray over them. That means we lay hands on them. There's something immediate. There's something touching about being touched by someone. And actually, some research has been done both a number of years ago, 30 years ago, and then presently in recent days, of doctors who deliberately will touch the patient with their hands in a godly or a kind way. And they have done research to find that double the number of people get well when the doctor has compassion on them. Wow. There's something of empathy that goes on here and something of the Lord's presence that passes from you to them. The manner it needs to be fervent prayer of a righteous man, God says, avails much. You pray over him, laying on hands, and you pray in the name of the Lord. That means the authority of Jesus Christ and His promises come to bear. And you pray the prayer of faith. Remember what James said? If a man needs wisdom, he should ask of God, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like the wave of the sea, tossed by the wind and driven by the waves. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. My friends, we are to pray in faith, believing God's going to do something. We don't know exactly what He's going to do, but He's going to do something. And number six, there's the mandate. The final mandate of all this is that we confess our faults one to another. I think that's interesting. I think many times we've missed that. And even in my old preaching, I miss it. Confess your faults one to another doesn't say, sick person, confess your faults to the elders, does it? It's a mutual confession of weakness and struggle, of the besetting sins, of things that have gone wrong and how God has forgiven you. There's an empathy there of realizing we are before the throne of God as sinners that are cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and Jesus Christ makes it right so that we can come boldly to the throne of grace and know that we're heard and God answers prayer. Woe be to us if we ever think the elders are beyond sin and have no weaknesses. I want all the elders in the room to stand up. All the elders of this church and any other church. If you're an elder, stand up so we can see you. Okay, around the room here, we got some lady elders from another church and perhaps downstairs. You guys stand up down there. I want people to look at you. These people are sinners. Guaranteed. 1 John. Chapter 1, verses 8 to 10 says, if they deceive themselves into saying they're not sinners and they don't sin anymore, they're wrong. And the Spirit of God is not in them. All right, you can sit down. They're sinners, just like you, just like me. I'm a sinner. And we come to the Lord for His cleansing. The communion table is a wonderful time to do that. To come to the Lord just as you are. With all your sins, with all your burdens, with all your sicknesses, and with all your cares. Scripture says, this is the children's bread. It's your privilege to come to the Lord. It is your privilege to bring to Him the burdens of your heart. It is a privilege to bring to Him all the things that are wrong in your body. Let me conclude with this. The Lord says, come just as you are. The last chapter of Revelation gives an invitation that says, come, let him that is athirst come. Let him that hears come. Let whosoever will come and take freely of the water of life. And I think the same thing is true for healing. Let whoever is thirsty come. Whoever has a need come. Whatever that need is. If it's bothering you, then it's bothering to the Father, and He wants you to bring it to Him. Come sick in body, or afflicted in soul, or broken in spirit, or hurting in heart, or frustrated in spirit, rejected friend, or grieving spouse, whatever that need, that affliction, that sickness that is hitting your soul, bring it to Jesus. And He delights to carry it away. Let's bow. Heavenly Father, right now in this moment, oh, Lord, I just sense You want to do great things in people's lives. You want to bring healing. You want to bring restoration. You want to touch emotions and minds and marriages and finances. And, Lord, all the things that are broken, You're the healer. You're the one that we come to, Lord. I pray for boldness on the part of Your people. Those that are struggling, especially, Lord, I pray for the timid one. That has never been to an altar to ask an elder to pray for him or her. I pray that today, as You give them faith and You prompt them to come, they will come to You and reach out to touch the hem of Your garment. And that Your Spirit, who is present here, would reach out to them and touch them and bring healing and restoration and redemption in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask that You'd bless our communion table as we prepare our hearts before You. As we open the altar after the communion service, I pray that those that are hungry, those that are thirsty, those that are in need and longing for a touch from God would come and find healing in Jesus. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name.